Ironically, the more reasonable the explanation was, the more wound up Martin seemed to become. It was as though he could easily deflect the insecure rants of Mikey, but he was being trapped by the fairness and logic of Jan and Catherine.
Listen, after all the time you put into building this product, I'm not willing to read a bloody epitaph of our company that blames our demise on bad technology.
Before anyone could point out to him that this was a blatant demonstration of the fifth dysfunction, Martin beat them to it.
And yes, I know that sounds a lot like I'm more interested in avoiding individual blame than I am in helping the company win, but...
He didn't seem to have a good explanation for his behavior. Jan bailed him out. Why do you think I'm so anal about finances? It was a rhetorical question, so she answered it for everyone. The last thing I want to do is read in the Wall Street Journal that we didn't manage our cash and had to close the company down. And Carlos doesn't want customer support issues to sink us, and Mikey doesn't want us to fail because we can't build our brand. Even with such an even distribution of blame, Mikey couldn't seem to accept her own portion. She gave Jan a look that said, I'm not worried about that. Jan ignored her and commented to the rest of the group. It sounds like we're all scrambling for lifeboats on the Titanic.
I don't think it's quite that desperate, countered Nick.
Catherine qualified her CFO's metaphor. Well, then we're all trying to stand as close to them as possible just in case. Nick nodded as if to say, okay, I'll give you that. Catherine put the conversation back on topic and directed her leading question toward Martin. So, where were we? Martin took a deep breath, shook his head as if he were disagreeing with everything that had been said, and then surprised everyone.
Okay, let's figure this out.
He went to the whiteboard and mapped out his entire organization, explaining what everyone was working on and how it fit together. His peers were genuinely amazed, both by how much they didn't know about everything going on in engineering and how it all fit together. After Martin had finished, Catherine gave the group 2 hours to discuss the relative merits of expanding or reducing the resources allocated to engineering and how to use them in other areas. During that time, the team argued vehemently at times, changed their minds, retrenched on their original opinions, and then decided that the right answer was not so apparent after all. Perhaps most important of all, every member of the team, including Catherine, at one time picked up the marker and went to the whiteboard to explain a point. If anyone yawned, it was because they were exhausted, not bored. Finally, it was Jeff who offered a solution. He proposed cutting one future product line entirely and delaying another for at least 6 months. Nick then suggested redeploying the engineers from those projects and training them to assist sales reps with product demonstrations. Within minutes, the group had agreed, laid out an aggressive timeline for implementing the change, and stared in amazement at the complex but workable solution on the whiteboard in front of them. Catherine then suggested they go to lunch and added, "When we get back, we're going to be talking about dealing with interpersonal discomfort and holding each other accountable."
"I can't wait."
Martin's facetious remark was not intended to be an indictment of the process, and no one took it that way.